यमुना तेरा वन जारी, राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी। गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, जया गोपी जनवल्लभा गिरिवरदारी। यशोदनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना, यशोदनन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी। जया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी, जया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य अष्टावतार सत्य श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति विरांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की समवेत वस्तु वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमा ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सिंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गुरु Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 6, verse 22 through 23. Okay. Through 26 today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad ajod krimani mamstavajan atoru yagyo chuta katitatam chataram hayasya Hrit-keshavastvarura isha inastu kantam. Vishnor bhujam mukamuru krama ishvarakam. Avyada jodhrimani mamstava janvatoru. Yagyo chuta katitatam chataram hayasya. Hritkesha vastvarura isha inastukantam. Vishnor bhujam mukamuru krama ishvarakam. Anyada jodh ghimani mamstava janvatodu. Yagyo chuta katitatam jataram hayasya. Hritkesha vastvarura isha inastu kantam. Vishnor bhujam mukamuru krama ishvarakam. continue. Chakyagatasaha gado hadirastu paschad vat parsivayur dhanurasi madhuha janascha kone shushanka unugaya upar upendras takshakshito haladara purusha samantat. Translation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We'll do this quite a bit of word for word. Can you get the mic? The other mic? You have that mic? No, I need the other mic. Kevin, can you do the word for words? Call and responsibly. You can say the Sanskrit, and then everyone can respond.
Yeah, sure. I have to, pardon me, I have to run to the restroom for 1 minute. A little embarrassing. This just shows our limited nature.
So let me word for word.
Avyat may protect. Aja, Lord Aja. Angri, legs. Animan, Lord Ani Mani Nam Mani Man, sorry. Tava, your. Janu, knees. Ata, thereafter. Uru, thighs. Yajna, Lord Yajna. Achuta, Lord Achuta. Kati Tatam, the upper part of the waist. Jataram, abdomen. Hayasya, Lord Hayagriva. Hird, the heart. Keshava, Lord Keshava. Tvat, your. Urdaha, chest. Ishaha, the supreme controller. Lord Isha. Inaha, Surya, the sun god. Tu, butt. Kantam, neck. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Bhujam, arms. Mukham, the mouth. Urukrama, Lord Urukrama. Ishvara, Lord Ishvara. Kam, head.
Okay, thank you.
Chakri.
That's okay, we'll just do it from there. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that the gopis, following the proper system, protected Krishna, their child, with this mantra. This can be turned down a little bit. May Aja protect your legs. May Maniman protect your knees. Yajna, your thighs. Achuta, the upper part of your waist. And Hayagriva, your abdomen. May Keshava protect your heart. Isha, your chest. The sun god, your neck. Vishnu, your arms. Urukrama, your face. And Ishwara, your head. May Chakri protect you from the front. May Sri Hari, Gadadhari, the carrier of the club, protect you from the back. And may the carrier of the bow, who is known as the enemy of Madhu, and Lord Ajana, the carrier of the sword, protect your two sides. May Lord Urugaya, the carrier of the conch, protect you from all corners. May Upendra protect you from above. May Garuda protect you on the ground. And may Lord Haladar, the Supreme Person, protect you on all sides.
Prabhupada, even in the houses of the cultivators, who were not very advanced in the modern ways of civilization, the ladies used to know how to chant mantras to give protection to children with the help of cow dung and cow urine. This was a simple and practical way to give the greatest protection from the greatest dangers. People should know how to do this, for this is a part of Vedic civilization. And now 24, 25, and 26. May Rishikesha protect your senses, and Narayan your life air. May the master of Svetadvip protect the core of your heart, and may Lord Yogeshwar protect your mind. May Lord Prishnigarbha protect your intelligence, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead your soul. While you are playing, may Govinda protect you, and while you are sleeping, may Madhava protect you. May Lord Vaikuntha protect you while you are walking, and may Lord Narayan, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, protect you while you are sitting. Similarly, may Lord Yajnabhuk, the fearful enemy of all evil planets, always protect you while you enjoy life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. A wonderful opportunity to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Mune Kutam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. There's a beautiful verse that describes the glorious position of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because actually it's mentioned that before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, one should offer some prayers, some glorification of the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam is, as we know, the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, otherwise we forget the great opportunity we have every morning. Find the verse. Comes in the 11th canto. Maybe the 12th canto. Yeah, 12, 13, 18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramaham Samekam Amalam Gyanam Param Giyate Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naiskarmya maviskritam tachtrinvan supatan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchenaraha. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas.
This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the processes of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants with devotion, becomes completely liberated. The Bhagavatam is the beautiful narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmas abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious principle, I myself incarnate to reestablish the principles of religion. So Vyasadev, he compiled Bhagavatam for that purpose. In the age of Kali, the dense darkness of ignorance is very thick. It says that people having lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance shall get light from this Purana. That's also a verse. That's our nature, that's our situation in this day and age, that we've lost our vision due to the dense darkness of the age of Kali. And what is the nature of that ignorance? That we identify with the material body. Anarto pasanam sakshad bhakti yoga madhoksaje dokasya janito vidvams chakre sattvata samhitam. All of the obstacles are actually superfluous to us, the anartas. But out of illusion we identify with them. But they actually have nothing to do with us. Therefore Srila Vyasadev compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation with the Absolute Truth. We know the story how Bhagavatam came after compiling all of the other Vedas. Vyasadeva was dissatisfied. He was feeling some lack. It's described we all have some experience of that to a certain degree. We may do so many things or services even, but still we feel something's missing. Something is just not there. So he shows the example. What did he do? He went in very deep prayer and meditation. Meditated on the Absolute Truth, and his guru actually appeared, and the guru brings this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, our guru parampara, this Bhagavad parampara. They are bringing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna originally spoke to Lord Brahma, to Narada. That is our disciplic succession. The Bhagavatam is not just another scripture. The Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas. We know originally it was spoken in four verses to Lord Brahma. Aham me vasam evagre nanyadyat sadasatparam paschadaham yade tachcha yovashisheta sosmiham. This is the summary. In nowadays, if you're reading a book, you generally need the spark notes. You just want to get the essence. You don't have time to go through all of the intricacies and the storyline. So Krishna did the same thing for the Bhagavatam. He says, Brahma, it is I, aham. It is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there is nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead, and after annihilation what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. The Lord Krishna is speaking to Brahma. So, in spite of that, there are certain agents of Kali Yuga, of illusion, who very much ignore these statements of the Shastra and create their own philosophy. And this is a very dangerous element, because the inherent nature of the Jiva, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das, nature of the soul is the Nitya Das, servant of God. This we see in all traditions. In the Bible, you have beautiful Psalms, Book of Psalms, glorifying the Supreme Lord. And depicts the dependence of the soul on the Supreme. And it explains the goal of life is love of God, to understand who we are in relation to the Supreme Father. We're all sons of the Supreme Father. That is there you see also in the Quran, the glorification of the Supreme, different names, different forms. So these monotheistic traditions present the highest for the living being, the highest goal actually, love of God. So in the purport here, Prabhupada is mentioning there is a simple and practical way to give the greatest protection from the greatest dangers. And what was that? Invoking mantras, names of Krishna, names of God to protect the child. Obviously it's Krishna, he doesn't need protection, but that's the Yoga Maya covering. But unfortunately this Maya covering has two natures. One is the Yoga Maya, the other is the Mahamaya. And they have different effects. We read in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivihesha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durataya, Mameva Yepapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. Those who are under the protection of the divine nature, what do? They surrender to God. Prabhupada said our philosophy is very simple. God is great. I am not so great. I am small. Therefore we should surrender to God and serve God. And that's the essence of Vaishnava philosophy. But there are others who are more characterized in a different verse of Bhagavad Gita. That is chapter 7, text 24. Krishna himself says, Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyate mam abudhaya parampavam ajanto mamavyayam anuttamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality due to their small knowledge. They do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So this verse is describing the greatest dangers. And what is the greatest danger actually in spiritual life? The greatest danger, according to Srila Prabhupada, and the last snare of Maya, is that one begins to consider themselves equal to the Supreme Being. The soul falsely tries to achieve an equal status with the Supreme, which actually goes against all of the Vedic literature. There's a verse in the Upanishads. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samas chabyati kayas cha drishyate parasya shaktair vividhaya truyate subhavaki gyanabala kriyacha. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do. He's not obliged to do anything. He's the controller of all potencies. Neither, no one is equal to or greater than him. So this requires humility. And the point I'm getting at is that the greatest danger in spiritual life is this certain philosophical speculation, which Srila Prabhupada took great lengths to educate us about, which is called Maya Vada. It is a theory of illusion in which the Supreme Lord is placed, the living being, the minute infinitesimal soul, is placed on an equal footing with the Supreme Lord. And that is the greatest calamity. So today happens to be, this weekend there's a big conference, some of you may be aware. It's called the World Hindu Congress. And I don't know the origins, but from what I understand, they're celebrating 125 years since Vivekananda gave his address. So it's important for us to understand what our philosophy is, because there are many philosophies out there. But obviously anyone who's read Prabhupada's books is very aware of the pitfalls, the dangers actually of this philosophy. So I thought I'd recount a little bit
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We know that Mahaprabhu came with the Panchatattva to distribute the fruits of love of Godhead. And in so doing, he passed through Varanasi on his way to Vrindavan. And in Varanasi, he happened to meet the Mayavadi sannyasis there. These are the followers of Shankaracharya. And they were being led by Prakashananda Saraswati, his 60,000 Mayavad sannyasi disciples. And they were criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that why are you chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist? The real duty of a sannyasi is to study Vedanta. So this is an offense. To insult the Supreme Lord is certainly an offense. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very humbled. Hearing their comments, he simply smiled to himself. Later, Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra submitted their request to the Lord that we cannot tolerate hearing this blasphemy. It's mentioned that if one hears blasphemy of the Supreme Lord or the Lord's devotee, one must do something immediately. Either they should defeat that offensive philosophy, or they should give up their life. Or if they came to that, they should leave right away, immediately. Why? Because it creates a very strong contamination. Just like there's purity and impurity. Purity means in relation with the Supreme Absolute Truth. Anything in relation with Krishna is very pure. And anything distinct from that is impure. And the most impure is that which directly minimizes or tries to counter the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is extremely impure. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just smiled to himself because for his own self, he Trinadapi Sunichena Tadorapi Sishna. He's like tolerant, more tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass. But for his devotees, which means pure devotees of the Lord, they can't tolerate hearing that. So they invited him, at that time a Brahmin came and invited him to meet with the sannyasis, and he accepted. And at that time, Prakashananda Saraswati, we know the pastime, he washed his feet and sat down in that place, very humble, took the humble position. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they began a dialogue, questioning him, why don't you study Vedanta? And this is what the Lord said. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakashananda Saraswati, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. You are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. So we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna is not a fool. Krishna is the supreme being. He has omniscience. He has the quality of knowledge in full, in totality. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya gyanavairagyoschaiva sanam bhagami tingana. The Lord has these six qualities in full, one of which is knowledge. So he embodies absolute knowledge. So of course he's not a fool. But sometimes to make a point or to convince others, one has to take a very humble position. Srila Prabhupada says, anyway, that's an elaborate purport, but he continues and says, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. In this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Ma mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to always keep it within my throat. For spiritual progress in this age of Kali, there is no alternative, there is no alternative, there is no alternative to the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman.
and then spiritual master confirms, this is the conclusion of all revealed scriptures, that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have done so. Continue dancing, chanting, performing Sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. So this was how their dialogue began. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's part of his mission to establish bhakti, it's mentioned in order to support or prove something, you have to disprove something else. Just like we encourage people to take to bhakti, but we simultaneously have to discourage them from so-called enjoyment of material life. If you just talk about the glories of bhakti, the tendency for material connection is not developed. So sometimes this is described, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would have a Bhagavatam in one hand and a club in the other. Because you have to, that's a means of establishing the highest good for the living entity, to also remove the impediments of that understanding. So, the Mayavadi sannyasis were questioning why he's not studying Vedanta. So the Lord replies, Vedanta philosophy consists of words spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Absolute Truth is described in the Upanishads and Brahma Sutra, but one must understand the verses as they are. That is the supreme glory and understanding. Sripad Shankaracharya has described all the Vedic literatures in terms of indirect meanings. One who hears such explanations is ruined. Shankaracharya is not at fault, for it is under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he has covered the real purport of the Vedas. So the Mayavad philosophy is actually very dangerous, and it's very offensive. And sometimes I see even devotees, they tend to, they may not have gleaned the danger, actually, of supporting or associating with such a philosophy. Sometimes anyone in India who's considered a holy man is given respect, no matter what they're following or teaching. I've seen even in some ISKCON temples where non-devotional swamis, just because one is a swami or taken sannyas, doesn't indicate that they are a good person with whom to associate. In the age of Kali, Srila Prabhupada explains that actually this Mayavad philosophy has spread all over the world. And he makes a very nice statement that they have created atheistic havoc all over the world, for such a conclusion is against the very nature of the transcendental process of pure devotional service. The Mayavadi philosopher's unrealizable ambition to become one with the Supreme through denying the existence of the personality of Godhead results in a most calamitous misrepresentation of spiritual knowledge. And one who follows this philosophy is doomed to remain perpetually in this material world. Therefore, the Mayavadis are called Avishuddha Buddha, or unclean in knowledge. And further, he mentions that it's the duty of the devotees to present the Prabhupada's ambition was to represent the Vedic knowledge as it is. So, this is a very real consideration for us as devotees, because this is very prominent. Most people, most books, if they describe Hinduism, they're describing the Mayavad philosophy, that the soul is one with Brahman and it's become covered. So, what is this Mayavad philosophy? We have to actually hear what it is, unfortunately, so that we can protect ourselves from this. Why the Daiva Maya or illusory energy of Krishna takes away the knowledge of the Mayavadi philosophers is explained in the Bhagavad Gita by the word Asuram Bhavamashrita, which it refers to a person who does not agree to the existence of the Lord. So Mayavada basically explains that the absolute feature is the impersonal absolute truth, and that the personal feature is either subordinate or illusory. The most prominent Mayavadi scholar, Sadananda Yogindra, has written a book called Vedanta Sar, in which he expounds the philosophy of Shankaracharya, and all the followers of Shankar's philosophy attribute great importance to his statements. In this Vedanta Sara, Sadananda Yogindra defines Brahman as Satchidananda combined with knowledge and without duality, and defines ignorance as knowledge distinct from that of Sat and Asat. It is almost inconceivable, but a product of the three material qualities. The center of ignorance is considered to be sometimes all-pervading and sometimes individual. So the basic notion is that the soul and God are illusions. They don't actually exist, and also therefore the process of bhakti is an illusion, and therefore the absolute goal is to merge into the supreme absolute truth. And this is a very offensive philosophy, just like if Jai Baladev is sitting there, and I say Jai Baladev doesn't exist. He doesn't have hands. No, he doesn't have legs either. He doesn't have a brain. If I'm talking to Jai Baladev, doesn't have a brain. Is that proper? Is that respectful? No, but that's what they do. So it was originally begun by Shankaracharya and later spread more or less to the Western world by Vivekananda. He was a follower of the Ramakrishna. Prabhupada said Ramakrishna was a fool. Vivekananda was a bigger fool for following him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, because of him, practically all of Bengal is going to hell. So our task is to present the Vedas as they are, and that means combating this illusory doctrines, these philosophies. Vivekananda was one of the biggest proponents of Mayavad philosophy, and many people hail him as a great spiritualist or a great man, like this Hindu conference, so many people will be glorifying. It just shows the complete ignorance. This is a world Hindu congress. These are considered the biggest leaders, and they're glorifying someone who denies the existence of God. You see, it's a non-devotional philosophy. The Mayavadis, Vivekananda, they're non-devoted. It's one thing to be ignorant. It's another thing to actively generate and lead people away from devotion and service to God. So to actively deny God, he came to this, they had some world parliament, and Vivekananda says, you're looking everywhere for God, but you don't know that you are God. And the people, American Christians, they were like, what is this? This is actually demoniac philosophy. Yes, the soul is Brahman, tattvamasi, in the sense that the soul is a part of the supreme Brahman, but never to assert the soul on an equal level. So these are, Prabhupada says rascal. This is rascal philosophy. And Prabhupada was very strong that, you know, as devotees we should be trained to recognize this and actually expose this. I have a few statements here. This is a room conversation, 1968. Pradyumna, Swamiji, I was reading a book by Swami Vivekananda. Some letters in the back I was looking at, Prabhupada. Vivekananda's books, we have nothing to do. I was just, forget him. It is all nonsense. Prabhupada, so this is Vivekananda's philosophy. Prabhupada, Vivekananda has influence here in higher society among the educated class. They talk about Vivekananda and this and that, nonsense. In your country, fortunately, that opposition was not there. There was no influence of Vivekananda class men. Here among the educated class, there is influence of all these rascals. Vivekananda, Aurobindo, that is one defect. Because educated class means wine, women, meat. And Vivekananda allows this. That is the point. Vivekananda has no distinction of eating. Eat any, all Brahman, all Narayan. You are Narayan. God is Narayan. So Narayan is going to the belly of Narayan. What is the wrong? One Narayan is going, being absorbed by another Narayan, but he is not agreeable to being eaten by a tiger. Another tiger is Narayan. So, actually Prabhupada said the more one criticizes Mayavada philosophy, the more they make advance from devotional service. In the beginning this may seem strong, or generally in spiritual circles we think we have to respect others, we should not speak ill about others. But as one makes advance from bhakti, they cannot tolerate hearing the Lord blasphemed, and that's what
Srila Prabhupada mentions here in another purport. See if I can find it. Yeah, sorry, I have this number of texts here, but the point is that a real devotee, someone who's actually developing love of Krishna, they cannot tolerate anyone saying Krishna doesn't have form, or Krishna is illusory. So that's actually a symptom of bhakti. Prabhupada says a devotee can never tolerate hearing these things, and therefore to support such notions or philosophies is against the principles of devotion. So in the beginning we think, okay, we have our philosophy and they have theirs, that's okay. But actually that's what makes advancement. They become very intolerant. They point out if something is spoken against the Lord or this process of bhakti, they immediately identify that this is not correct. So all of the world now, when you study Hinduism, any of the books, this is what they're teaching. You can see. I remember in school, all the yoga scenes, everything, it's all Mayavad philosophy. It's all illusory doctrines. I don't know if I've done a sufficient job describing all that because we don't have much time and I kind of have too many notes here that I've tried to combine, but to understand what it is and actually educate ourselves, that is establishing bhakti, that is service to God actually. And this is, as we're hearing, this is simply a speculation. There's a reason why Shankaracharya explained that, we may know. For this discussion in 1971, Radha Krishna says it is not to the person Krishna where he gets this nonsense idea. No, that Vivekananda has also said, they're all nonsense. Therefore I say that they are all nonsense who deviates from the original text of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is devotion. To establish Krishna, bhakti, and to expose and defeat those things which are... Materialism is one form of maya. We say, don't get material absorbed. We spend so much time saying, you can't do sense gratification. But so many philosophies are there that are not just atheism, but even the Mayavada is described as veiled Buddhism. Mayavadam asach chastram prachanam bodham uchite. The Mayavada is asat shastra. Asat means untrue, illusory, shastra. It's an untrue doctrine. And it's covered Buddhism. Prachanam bodha. It's Buddhism in the garb of the Vedas. The Vedas always assert the supreme absolute truth, that Krishna is the supreme person, aham sarvasya prabhavo, everything comes from him. And the Mayavad say, no, this is not true, actually everything is one, and that oneness is devoid of any qualities in nature, so that's offensive. Therefore, we want to help spread the true thing, and which entails removing the false thing. 1973, Prabhupada says, in India, what is going on as Hindu dharma? It is a bogus thing. It has no meaning. Just like this Ramakrishna mission, this Vivekananda, Mahesh Yogi, so many others, all bogus. Anyone who is not going in terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult or is teaching, he's bogus. Anyone. Not only in India, all over the world. The present moment, the real transcendental spiritual life means to follow the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is God. So God himself is showing how he dealt with the impersonalists. He didn't just say, oh, they're great, let them go on. No. He sat down, he discussed according to Shastra, according to Vedanta. He disproved. And actually, they all became devotees and started chanting Hare Krishna. That is our work. I'd say, everyone is good, I'm good, you're good. So, no. We have to establish Krishna Bhakti. And that means very carefully understanding all these arguments, knowing the Shastra. And that is service to Krishna. Because aparad means against Radharani. This is service to Radharani, to establish. Now how it's done, that should also be taken into account. But not to just kind of wishy-washy put everything in one basket. The Hindu, any Hindu Swami is great, they're presenting Dharma. No, find out what is their philosophy, what are they actually teaching. Nowadays a lot of it is not bhakti. It's not pure.
it's very impure, and the need is to understand, present Prabhupada as it is. So this was my contemplations this morning. I apologize, it's a little helter-skelter. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. Maybe if you allow later, I do kind of have a question about the Mayavadi thing and that Lord Chaitanya pastime, but one other point I'll just mention, maybe you could spend an hour.
Can I say one thing also? It's past time.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm saying.
If anyone wants to leave, so I'll just, they can leave now. We won't be offended. That's the policy, but if anyone says.
This verse, all the verses you were quoting in this verse from the Bhagavatam today essentially are saying the same thing, to take shelter of Krishna for protection. But in the material world, usually we take shelter of our money, our high education, or our materialistic friends. But we could see that Ramachandra Khan, for example, he had money, fame, power, but he couldn't protect himself from envy. And we see in the material world, they can't protect themselves, including us. We destroy ourselves because we can't protect. And so sometimes when householders are speaking with each other or you're having a general conversation, sometimes the topic comes up, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a doctor. What do you do for a living? I'm a janitor. Oh, I'm so sorry. You should feel bad about yourself. So there's a quote that says, money, fame, and power increases your net worth, not your self-worth. You are already valuable with the smaller apartment and no title behind your name. Martin Luther King, he also said a nice quote. He says, even if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should go out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted, like Beethoven composed music, like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to know about Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't even have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. You can be that servant. Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnata Nitya Das Krishnata Tatsa Shati Beta Beta Prakash. You quoted that verse. It basically says the only title and designation you need to feel good about yourself is Krishna Das, servant of Krishna. So my question essentially is that Prabhupada will often quote that verse from chapter 18 where the body is described as a yantra, machine. And one of my favorite analogies is that a computer is attractive when it's connected to its power source, and unattractive when it's disconnected to this power source. So we see like in the Dhruva Maharaj pastime, the lesson in that pastime is that if we're connected to the Lord, then even if we don't have anything, we'll always be satisfied. On the other hand, if we're disconnected for the Lord, then even if we have everything, like Hiranyakashipu or Ramesh, we'll still be dissatisfied. We're not protected. So what are some steps we can move forward to develop the faith that, coming to Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, Sadhu, Sangha, Namakir, all these things are actually our protectors, because we can't maintain our money if we're not protecting ourselves from the molds of material nature. We'll lose it. We'll lose our relationships. So what is the use of it? You'll lose it in general, or you'll lose your happiness at least. So what are some steps we can move forward to develop that? Krishna's my only protector.
Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given his bhajans in the process of Sharanagati, to accept the Lord as one's protector and maintainer. That is also the essence of bhakti, to see that Krishna is there. Krishna is actually protecting me, he's actually maintaining me. Otherwise our mind is thinking so many external things are the cause. So one has to contemplate and establish a deep connection with Krishna. One has to go deep in their chanting, or in their bhajan, in their devotion, and call out to Krishna. Dedicate some time of the day. See, we have so much time that we spend just doing, and we're so busy, but sometimes we need just some few minutes to actually enter a deeper place of consciousness. Even our japa is often, our mind is racing, we're just trying to get our rounds done. So to take some time and really pray, vandanam, this important anga of devotion. And that's our only hope, actually, through prayer, through descending mercy. Setting aside some quiet time, and you can go as deep as you want. There's no holding back. It's not like you know, the alarms going off, the buildings falling down. Just set aside a few moments where you can fully be present with Krishna in your heart. And also through kirtan, to enter deeply into the mood of kirtan. Kirtan is that call to the Supreme for everything, for protection, for shelter. So that is a important aspect, not just an external intellectual thought, but a deep meditation we can practice. Is that okay? Yes, Master.
Thank you for the class. So, your opinion about the Mayavadi philosophy.
It's not my opinion, though.
Yeah. I mean, but generally, so I had to just say a few things. Like, first of all, even like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you cannot surrender to me, then he says like there are steps like in the end he says that if you cannot worship me, then you should do philanthropic activities like serve others. So God is everywhere. He is present everywhere. He is even present as Paramatma in other beings. So there are gradual steps to elevation to realize Krishna is the Supreme Being, but there are gradual steps to realizing that Paramatma. So anybody who teaches the four pillars of religion, which are truthfulness, austerity, charity, and I think truthfulness and cleanliness, yes. So the four, anybody who teaches the four pillars of spirituality and who is trying to get closer to God, irrespective of what stage they are in, should not be condemned, because we are all in gradual stages of elevation, and to reach that perfect stage where we realize Krishna is the Supreme Being will take like many lifetimes. So like we had a Bhagavatam class and we were discussing yesterday that the beginning stage is realizing Paramatma, then we go to the higher stages and then higher stages, but the beginning stage is realizing Paramatma in other beings and being kind and sympathetic to them. Because if we do not realize the Paramatma in other beings and we are not kind and we are not the whole premise of religion will fall down if the basic step isn't reached. So that is the basic step, and then only we can reach the higher steps of elevation. So I mean anybody who is teaching the right way of living, of spirituality, should not be condemned. That is my
thing. Is that we want to examine in which way they're presenting the principles of religion. Atheistic people can also present very nice, doing good to others, educating our children, taking care of the old. So atheists can also do that. They have whole societies. Hold on. So it's really depends where it's coming from. And my point is that when these ideas are coming from those who are avowedly against God, the Supreme Personality, God is a person. If they are denying the personality of God, then they're doing a disservice, even in the name of humanitarianism and all these things. So there may be innocent people. I'm not talking about innocent people. I'm talking about big demons who are trying to minimize the position of the Supreme Lord and put themselves on an equal level. That should be condemned. There's no problem in that. The demons, we don't offer, you know, we don't bow down and offer obeisances to the demoniac. Actually, they are avoided and they are condemned. They are also a living entity. So respect is given to the soul, but if one is displaying inimical behavior, just like a tiger, you don't go up and cuddle a tiger. You understand, you might warn others, watch out, this is actually a tiger. Yeah, super soul is there. So innocent people should be respected and given proper knowledge. So we don't condemn innocent people, but those who are followers, if one is a follower, just like if I'm a follower of Prabhupada, then whatever Prabhupada is teaching is going to take birth in my heart. So those who are followers of big Mayavadis, undoubtedly there is contamination going into the heart. Anyone may have that experience. I have that experience. If you read these books, so-called Vedanta societies, it's contaminating. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says one is doomed. So this was that quote here, and Prabhupada says, unfortunately, the Shankarite interpretation has covered almost the entire world. Therefore, there is a great need to present the original, easily understood, natural import of Vedic literature. So that's all we're trying to do.
Yes, I agree, but I just wanted to say, like, if a soul or if a living entity has not realized that higher state of consciousness, has not come in contact with the philosophy, or even he has not seen God, so whatever is in front of the person, which is, he sees that normal religion is like being at peace with other people and seeing the Paramatma within them. So what is wrong in that if he starts with those basic steps and then gradually, like,
yeah, he should do that, but hopefully someone won't mislead him in the name of a great guru and tell him actually Krishna doesn't exist. So to warn people about that is a service to Krishna.
Krishna will reveal himself if he reaches that stage of purification.
Yeah, as long as he's doesn't commit offense. And these are considered Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi, the greatest offenders, the greatest blasphemers are those who openly deny and propagate that the Lord doesn't have form. So it's really late. I'm very sorry. I apologize to all of the devotees here, but I'm trying to present what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was encouraged. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is what this is.